الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. A few points inshallah with regard to wudu. Namaz, we mentioned a few points with regard to wudu as well. And before wudu is mostly istinja. So istinja should also, and in there, a few points also. Today, unfortunately, we are going by and large using the high pen, even without reason. If a person needs it because of health, etc., he's excused. Also, he shouldn't like it. Majburi, I can't help it, unfortunately. I can't do my istinja also, like Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, which was in a squatting position. And if a person hasn't got an excuse, he should not. Today, unfortunately, little children are potty trained to leave their napkins and that on the high pen. So they are in the habit of that all the time. One time, Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Rahmatullah Ali said, he went with a jamaat of youngster students, they went in jamaat. And the masjid they went to, there was one high pen normal. Today there are more also, but one and the others are the flat pen. And all the youngsters in the jamaat, about 8-10 of them, a whole line by the one toilet. All the others are vacant, but they're not using those. They can't use it. One student from a foreign country came, and when he saw the flat pens here, he says, I was taken aback. What gadget is this? I couldn't make out what is this here. So our way should be the old traditional sunnat way. If a person can't and still not be happy that he's using that, unfortunately, if a person is to sit on the chair and make namaz, also try and keep that consciousness. I'm deprived of sajda on the ground or ruku, the normal. I can't help it. But not that you are happy and you sit like a proud person on the chair. So that, and then the istinja also, another thing also, which by and large we are getting used to, is using the hose to make istinja. Using the hose is nothing wrong, but just splashing water, even with the can, is not enough. In urine and in stool, there are those chemicals which are very harmful for the body. And just like, for example, if you put condensed milk on your palm, and now just splash some water, will it go away? It's still going to be there. Take a tissue and wipe it off, will it go away? It will be still there. Till you don't rub it with your hand, then that effect of that condensed milk will go away. Similarly, the stool, away from our dini point of view, just like that, for health sake, the stool, the urine, the very strong, harmful chemicals they have in them. If we just splash water, even with the luta, the jug, or with the hose by and large, we're just splashing water. That is not istinja. Until you don't rub it and remove that, then will that effect goes away. And for us more, not only the bodily harm, physical, but the spiritual, all that. If our istinja is not correct, how will our wuzu be correct? If our wuzu is not correct, how will our namaz be correct? Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, that we try as far as possible to, and also the squatting position. Naturally, Allah has made it that your legs are at a 45 degree angle up. And that is the ideal position to push out all the dirt. And if your legs are like in a flat 90 degree position, how when we normally sit, like just now my legs, my thighs are flat, then it does not push out everything what is in the body. And that which remains in the body is also harmful for the body. Many of the diseases which are caused, the stomach is the fountain source of all diseases. And when the stool remains in the stomach, it causes all, then spending how much of money and how much difficulty, hardship we going through, putting other people through, just because our basics are not correct. Our deen, and there is nothing that can come anywhere near sunnah. Forget match it, they are out of the question. Nothing can come anywhere. Sunnah is the ideal way of life 1400 years ago, now, until Qiyamah. There is no better way than the way of the sunnah of Nabi Sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah make it that we do our istinja also correct, and then the wuzu also. One is, and unfortunately in our matters, it seems we have gone away from our deen to such an extent to return back to the actual original deen seems to be difficult even for the very pious and the elite people. Wuzu we should make in a sitting position also. And that also, the sitting position was also the squatting position. If you need, then sit on a little stool. Like in the wuzu khanas, we got the place to sit. Actually, that is also not. It is also in the squatting position that a person sits and makes wuzu. But we can't even imagine it today. And today, what that little like a bench, like in the wuzu khanas, that little we sit on there, that also is there. But how many people, communities, countries, they don't sit and make wuzu. They just stand and make wuzu. And to sit and make wuzu is a sunnat. And the actual sitting is also the squatting position. And if you use a bench, use a bench. And also then to face qibla. That is also very, very important. Once we were with Haji Bhai Padia, rahmatullah alayh, we were just two, three alims with Haji Bhai, and we went to one masjid where certain taps were facing qibla and the others were not. One of our friends sat at a tap that was not facing qibla when the other taps were available. Haji Bhai became very angry. And Allah reward Haji Bhai and fill his qabr with noor. And he said, when you can face qibla and all the facilities there, and you still opt to sit facing away from qibla, it speaks volumes of the condition of our heart, that we are not even conscious of that. It should be there all the time. So we should try and face the qibla. And normal again, our homes are gone, our bathrooms, which is a whole big center of its own. It's not just one bathroom, one part. It's a whole, how big our bathrooms are and what things there are in the bathroom. It's a whole big center. With all that, we build it as Muslims. We had a Muslim architect. We had Muslim builders. But we find that for the wuzu, there isn't a wuzu khana. If there is, it's not towards qibla. We're making a place for the jacuzzi. We're making place for everything else. Like a whole spread out center, whole town of its own, the bathroom is. And unfortunately, the wuzu, the toilet is part of all that. We haven't separated it. So you are in that whole big complex of yours. And the toilet is not separate. The toilet is part. You are in the toilet. You are making wuzu in the toilet also. And if Allah save us all, you have to die there, you have died in the toilet. And simple, even with all this, just put a curtain around, and now it is regarded as separate. Now you can read your du'as. What precious du'as of wuzu. But we are deprived. So we don't read them. It's out of our head. We haven't got any idea they are du'as. And just to read the du'a, Bismillah, walhamdulillah, before wuzu, that also, how many of us to do? As long as that wuzu remains, malaika are making dua for us. Farishtas, whose duas are 100% accepted, as long as that wuzu remains, they are busy making dua for us. So in that, we should try at least the minimum, put a curtain around there, or even a room divider. If it is only like for the front that you have to block it, in order to make it separate, you can use a room divider also. So it's not difficult, but then it is separate. The toilet is separate. And now when you are out of the toilet, you are making standing using the basin, not facing Qibla, water from the tap, and it's flowing all the time. And because we are not conscious, that flow of the water also, we just allow it to flow at a huge amount. And it's just we need a little bit only, but we use so much. Wudu, the masala is when you wash your hand, for example, your arm, and when you throw water and one drop falls down also, that water was enough. And if there's a whole flow of water, mashallah, even better. So we don't need so much wudu. And we all know Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made wudu from the mud. Today we can't understand that how can you manage your wudu from the one mud. And ghusl, how many muds?
One
sa, and that was about 5 liters. We can't imagine the amount of water we are wasting, and people in rural areas, how much they're suffering for water. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So let us. So for our purposes, while we are in this unnatural environment of our deen, in that also, at least when we're making wudu, let us start and read the dua before wudu. And then a few other directives, inshallah, so that at least our wudu can be correct. Otherwise, if we are making namaz for years without wudu, if our wudu is not correct, few basic things we will discuss only, by which at least our wudu can be correct with all the undesirable aspects how we are making wudu. But at least basically, wudu is made so that our namazes could be correct. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to keeping rozas and what is called keeping rozas, further we discussed one was roza of the eyes, not to look at any haram, etc. Not to even daydream and think about, fantasize, etc. And then wuzu of the tongue, roza of the tongue, that we don't speak any haram. And what we are not allowed to speak, we are not allowed to listen to also, to protect our ears also. And then after that, the 3 types of roza, which we must also keep in order to have been able to say, I kept a roza. And now I can expect the returns of roza. The 4th is, of the 6 which ulama explained, is roza of the mind and the heart. There is also a very important roza that we have to keep, our thoughts. And in there are many things. For one, see the qudrat of Allah. The brain Allah has given us, ulama have spoken a lot about the heart and the brain, which controls us. After all that, and there are all different views also, but it seems that what is proven also is the main function is of the heart. The heart is the actual boss, and the brain is the chief advisor of the heart. Like many times you want to do something, I must do it, I desire to eat, I can't help it, I have to do it, whether it is a smoke, whether it is masturbation, whether it is looking at another woman, but your mind will tell you it's wrong, don't do. But what the heart is going to finally decide, that is what you're going to do. In spite of the advice of the mind, that is, don't do it. Don't say it's the last time. The last time becomes the first time. And you just carry on. So the heart is the main thing. And then we find in the hadith, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَةٌ إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ. The heart is the thing to work on. If the heart is worked on, all the other things come right also. So the focus of the heart, the direction, must be towards Allah, towards Akhirat. If the direction is wrong and you want to still correct it, how can you? Damage control doesn't yield results. The thing is, get it in the right direction. The heart must be, our heart is towards dunya. Our heart is toward our desire, and we want it to go to Akhirat. We put it in the direction of Akhirat. Then everything becomes easy. Today we want to live an Islamic life, and many of us are sincere in that. But our whole life is a Western way of life. We are sitting in the wrong coach. We are sitting in the, we're going in the wrong direction. We can't correct it. Make our direction correct. So the heart is the most important. And the brain gives its advice all the time. And the brain is that place which works out things. We can't imagine how fast, how accurately. And if we use it wrong, the brain causes so much of harm when we don't harness it and put it in the right way. If you have taught somebody how to use a firearm, but you didn't, you teach him on who to use it, he can cause havoc. And it's a daily occurrence in the world where policemen, army people who have been given arms from the government side, but they were not taught how to use it, they shoot their whole family dead. Finally, they commit suicide themselves also. And if you told them how to use it correctly, they will use it on the wrongdoers, on the perpetrators, the people who violate the law. They will use it in the right place. So just having the potential is not enough. The direction of that potential must also be correct. So it is very important that the mind Allah has given us, it's got great, great potential. And it does great, great wonders. The heart controls the whole body. And that also. But if the direction is not, we haven't taught it to use it for deen, for akhirat, and we are using it for dunya all the time. And we see how many of us, all this potential of the mind and of the heart, just to earn dunya, even if it is in a halal way. Whereas that was to earn akhirat. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ These are the things of akhir. What eternal it is. And quality is superior. And this dunya, today the very intelligent people who are working so much for dunya, what are they working for? They know it is in them. We are working for that what we are going to leave behind. Finally, when we die, nobody is going with even a pair of socks, one handkerchief, nothing. All that will remain behind. The kafan also is for the respect of the person. Not that our whole life, at least we worked so much that we earned our kafan. Not that we are going with our kafan, at least to take a person nakedly in front of everyone. So the kafan is only there for as a respect to cover the body. It's not that we work the whole life and at least I earn my kafan. And all the how much we have earned in this dunya, and we know at the time of mort it's going to be left behind. And almost perhaps 99, 100% of the cases, what we left behind is not something for the goodness of our children, but fights, arguments, what wars take place in the family for what, because what we left behind. The whole family was a close, knitted unit, a close family, respect and love for their mother. But how many times the mother is literally kicked out of the house because of what you left behind. Now all are fighting, and this is also a strange thing that for inheritance, how much you fight to get more, you are making less of somebody else. If, for example, a person left 5 million rand, you are entitled to 1 million, but you are claiming 1.5, you are claiming 3, 4 million, so you are depriving others. So that is this dunya's condition. And deen's condition, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave material things. He left knowledge, ilm as in it. How much you take, you will never deprive somebody else. You can take more and more, and you should take more, and you will not be depriving anyone. That person can also take more. No more. Yeah, it isn't like in the dunya, if you're going to take more, you're depriving the others of their rightful share, and you taking haram more. Yeah, how much more you take? More. As deen is concerned, how much of more deen you bring in your life, doesn't mean you'll be depriving others now. They'll get a lesser share. No, you will take a full share, and they also, how much they endeavor, they can also take so much. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that is to harness it. And this is the ideal occasion, the month of Ramadan, where Allah has made rozas for us on all other things, rozas of the mind and the heart also. And if a person learns to harness them, use their potential, he can be the poorest person, the person with no education, even deeni-wise, but he learns to control these powerful, powerful forces which Allah has given everyone. He can go not from rags to riches, not from ignorance to knowledge, not from impiety to piety, not from the wrong thing from the left to the right. He can reach, soar, and he can fly high. This opportunity Allah has given it to us now. And it is there for all of us. Keep rozas and keep the mind pure. Keep the heart pure. And it is only ayyama ma'adudat. Just a few days which you can count on your fingers to control your mind and your heart. After all, this mind, just see how it works. You are sleeping in your bed comfortably. You're getting a good sleep, comfortable. When you wake up, your body is not sore. You haven't got a stiff neck or anything. Nicely you are sleeping. But one thought came. I must change my mattress. So you decide, okay, I'll change my mattress now. And that is only one thought. It came in the mind. And it was passed by the heart. You go ahead, go and buy a new mattress. So you bought a new mattress, no big deal, nothing much has happened in your life, and you are getting now perhaps a better sleep, same sleep, perhaps a worse sleep. How many sometimes a new mattress, now you can't sleep also. So anyway, now the thought comes, the mattress is new, my linen, my bedding, I must change that also. Now, okay, change your linen now, all your bedding, your added down, your sheets, your blankets, that also. Now my pillows also I must change. So you change your pillows also. Now you change your pillows. Now the bed is so nice. Now my curtains are old. I must change my curtains also. Now you change your curtains. I must change my carpet also. But before the carpet, the wife will also give you advice. Paint the bedroom also. Now you paint it again and you put, now the bedroom is really smart. Now the wife says, what about my kitchen? My place will now make up the kitchen also. Now since we have made the kitchen, what about the rest of the house now? And all this we are buying money with money that we don't have. Eh? And for no need, just that one thought, see the power of that one thought. That because it's caused all this. Now anyway, you now make up your whole house. Now the outside of the house, what about that? Now you paint the outside also. Now what about the garden? The garden also, and all the borrowed money from the bank. And okay, we got money to repay. And all the system, the economic system of the West, is that you must keep on taking loans and you must service your loan. That is what your overdraft is, what your bond is at the bank. That is a good client. The more he's owing us, but he's just paying his installment. So they're just collecting the interest, living on interest all the time. No work, just the interest all the time. And as long as you are serving that bond you are paying, they're happy. But now you're buying more and more. You can't pay the bond. Now they repossess. Now that whole house with one thought to change the mattress, now your house is taken away from you. The carpet is just pulled out from under your feet. Now you've got nothing left to stand on also. Everything is gone. Where you wanted the outside, you wanted your garden, you changed your car, everything from the one thought of changing the mattress. And now you lose everything. So this thought, if you keep it in order, that where should I spend money, how much should I spend, and you have control over that, it is harnessed and guided. Allah gave us the reins to control it, Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif. And in here we should keep in mind the great beautiful malfoz of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, which is not worth writing in gold and just kept in gold. To write on your heart, and that influences your heart, and your actions come according to that. Hazrat said that keep your control your desires with your mind. Our desires are plenty. I feel like eating this, I feel like doing this, I feel like talking with so and so. Lot of desires we have, but control it with your brain. And Allah has given you brain, akal. Use that brain. Don't just do what you want to, what you just got a desire. Many people justify the actions today, but I just feel like. I just want to satisfy myself. You want to satisfy yourself? You will go to an animal and you will go and satisfy yourself. You will go anywhere. You can't satisfy yourself with any woman. You can't satisfy yourself in any wrong way. So just our lust is, you want to earn money, big money. And just anyhow you want to earn it, it's not allowed. Keep your mind over it. And don't make your mind your God either. Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, your mind a powerful, great, great mechanism Allah has given you, but it's also not your God. Above your mind, keep Shariat, Quran and Hadith. And Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used the word Shariat, which is Quran and Hadith, but the laws deduced from Quran and Hadith. The Shariat, and that is absolute, that is perfect. It's not everyone's capacity to understand and deduce laws from the Quran Sharif. And the door is closed today. The doors of ijtihad are closed. Nobody becomes a mujtahid today. And also from hadith, and don't also, one time, in fact, somebody asked Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what is your opinion on this matter? He became so angry. My opinion? What has my opinion got to do with the matters of deen? Comments from the peanut gallery in the great auspicious matter of deen, my own. What is my? Ask me what is the ruling of Shariat on this matter. And not only, what does the Quran say? Where have we got the capacity to deduce from Quran Sharia? What does the Hadith say? This is also found in Riwayat. That is also found in Riwayat. We are not yet to look at Riwayat. We must look at Mazhab. What does Hanafi? What does the Hanafi Madhab say? What does Imam Abu Hanifa? All they have done the work of extracting from Quran and Hadith, and only they had that capacity, which we don't have at all. Any person who feels that I'm a mujtahid, but he can't say I'm a mujtahid. So the best way to cover it up, I'm a muhaqqiq, and I look at all Hadith and Quran. A person who has really got the essence, he will look at Mazhab. He will look at Shariat. What our elders who had that knowledge, who had that taqwa, who had that pure heart, that pure intentions which we can't imagine today, and they gave it to us ready today. And when we don't, and we want to make our ijtihad today, it is like you went somewhere for a meal. Wonderful meal, there is roast, there is chicken, there is whatever you can think of, the best. And now you go and grow your chicken, and you grow your sheep now, and you're growing your maize and your flour. And then when it's grown, then you're going to treat it, make flour out of the maize, etc. Then you're going to slaughter your chicken. Then you're going to cook it. And here you got a ready meal. You don't have to go and do it again. The wheel has been invented. You don't have to reinvent the wheel over and over again. And if you really want to use you've got great potential of making ijtihad, and you're a big muhaqqiq, do it today in the matters of, for example, medicine. New things have come. Make tahqiq on the new types of treatment that there are. On business, commercial matters, there are new ways today. The very currency matter is a complete different today of what we knew what currency was. Today currency is something, and the methods of transactions are so diverse. What the business has changed. Make tahqiq in those matters, not what has been made over and over again. And we have got the ready-made material today following that. So follow Shariat. And see what the Shariat have to say. So don't make your brains also your God. Don't make your lust your God. Ara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. Have you not seen that foolish, stupid person who makes his own desires his God? that what I feel like I must do, I'm entitled to do. And today this is what is being proposed, promoted openly by the enemies of themselves, enemies of mankind. Whoever they are, if it's the West, it's the East, whoever are there, that the child wants this, give it to the child. You feel like doing this, do what you want to do. Become animals now. And just follow your lust and your desires. No, control yourself with your brains which Allah has given you. And your brains control yourself. And don't make your brains also your God. Above your brains, keep Allah. Your brain, أَدَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Even with your knowledge that you have, Allah causes a person to go astray. يُذِلُّ بِهِ كَثِيرًا وَيَهْدِي بِهِ كَثِيرًا. With the token of the Quran Sharif, Allah makes many people to get guidance, and from the Quran Sharif, people go astray. They use the Quran Sharif wrongly also. So on top of that, keep the Sharia. Don't think I can deduce from Quran myself. I can deduce and extract masail from Hadith. No, keep Sharia. And even in our daily lives, everyone must have a sheikh. If a person doesn't have a sheikh, he becomes his own sheikh. And your own sheikh, he will lead you astray. He will never take you to righteousness. Your own desires, your own nafs, your own opinion. A person who follows his own opinion, he will never have a sheikh. And a sheikh is not for barakat. And a sheikh is not for namesake, and neither is bay'at for barakat, and for namesake, and neither is khilafat for bay'at and for barakat. It is all that you stay under your sheikh. Many people, we have a sheikh, but we are far ahead of the sheikh. Wherever, whichever direction we are ahead, our sheikh is just there for barakat. And just when we have the opportunity, and the most perhaps one phone call, one email in today's times, or one little hadiah we send to him and make him happy, that is all. And we're doing our own thing. That is not even a murid. A murid is one who has given himself over to his sheikh. Murda badaste zinda. Just like a dead person, he can't do anything himself. The people who are giving ghusl, they will turn his body this side, that side. That is how we... On one occasion, one person asked Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, my son is studying in Aligarh Muslim University and is getting atheistic ideas. He's becoming like an atheist. What must I do? I'm very worried of him. He's studying at the university and he's getting all atheist ideas. Allah doesn't exist. Akhirat is not there. Religion, there is nothing like deen, etc. Allahu Akbar. Maulana told him, put him in Banaras Hindu University. What we will say, from the frying pan into the fire. From Aligarh Muslim University, put him in Banaras Hindu University, where the Hindus and the university, and that where the Hindus, they are also university, but Muslim. But he was a murid. And he did exactly, it didn't make sense to him at all. That from a Muslim university is becoming like an atheist, and now I put him in a Hindu university, that education, and Hindu university. What will I? But he was a murid, so he put him. After a few months, he saw my son became the best Muslim. Not only the following, but now he is promoting Islam and he's standing up for Islam. He couldn't understand. He went and asked Maulana Thanvi, you told me, I was your murid, I did what you told me. But I don't, it didn't make sense to me at all. But I accepted. But I saw the great wisdom of yours, what it was, the great barakat, the great wisdom in it. What is this? Hazrat explained two ways. One was that when he was in the Muslim university, he took everything for granted. That, yeah, everything, I'm a Muslim. Like, for example, a person, one Khan Sahib, he heard a bayan, if you make people Muslim, so lot sawab. So he went out with his sword, and he saw a Hindu, par kalima, read kalima. Otherwise, I'll kill you, I must make you Muslim. He got frightened, he said, okay, I will read kalima, what is the kalima? He said, I don't know myself. So, like that, you have that just by and that, but you're not cared of yourself also. So, but when you're in your own environment, when I was in Germiston, Musalla, the masjid, and directly opposite was one family living, and we hardly ever saw them in the masjid. Perhaps, I don't know, perhaps they must be coming, but where the group areas act, they were of a different group, ethnic group, so they went to their area. And no masjid there, it was a new area, nothing there, very few Muslims, almost 90-95% non-Muslim. There he made musalla or his front room. And with his vehicle, he should go and pick up all the musallis. Now, he took an environment that we took it for granted. We are Muslims. I'm living right next to the masjid. I hear azan 5 times, so I'm all right. Whether I make my namaz, I go to the masjid, but I'm here. But now I'm in a strange environment. I must look after my identity. Otherwise, I will lose my identity. And they became a very strong Muslim there. So, the Maulana said, that is one. And the other is the barakat of listening to the shaykh. That you just listen, Allah puts khair in there. And then Allah made it that way. He was in a Muslim university and he was becoming an atheist. In a Hindu university, he became a strong Muslim. So, keep our... don't follow our lusts at all. Don't follow our brains and our thinking. I feel I must do this. My heart tells me this. Don't follow that. Our heart is not our God. We see what above that, what does Sharia tell us. And in Sharia, see what Sharia tells us. The ulama who have deduced for us our Messiah and they have given it to us, follow that clearly. So this is the month of Ramadan to harness and control our mind also and our heart also. So in this, many thoughts, one is understand the great Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala and find Allah Ta'ala in this also, that what the mind Allah has made, how the mind works. What we are seeing with our eyes, we say, I see with my eyes. It's not the eye that sees. All that message is related to the brain, what the brain has made out of it. What we hear, we are not hearing. It is just all what's in the air. But then it is transferred from the ear, from the passage in the ear, then the ear drums and all the anvil and the other little bones, which are, all that message sent to the brain works out something. And the brain works out again something, how fast it works out. What decisions, what fast changes it makes in its decision. Continuously it is working. Also with regard to just this one thought that comes to a person. We see somebody told Shaitan that you causing havoc in the world, bloodshed, fighting, murdering, people not believing in Allah. He says, I don't do all that, I haven't got time. I'm so busy that I haven't got. Our Shaykh taught us the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Qilu fa inna shaytana la taqilu. Make qailula. Oh, shaytan doesn't make qailula. And to make qailula, Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi said, what the niyat of sunnat is more better than tahajjud, which is nafal. Qailula with the niyat of sunnat. So Shaitan got no time to rest. He is a very, very busy man. He is determined to make all the people go astray. So he said, but all this what's happening in the world, you are the cause of it. He says, what I do, how I operate. For example, I will just put a drop of syrup on the wall and I carry on. I haven't got time for anything else. Seeing that syrup drop, then the fly comes for it. The fly likes it. Seeing the fly, the lizard goes for the fly. Seeing the lizard, the cat goes for the lizard. Seeing the cat, dogs and cats fight is famous all the time. The dog comes for the cat now. Seeing that, the neighbor's dog comes and the two dogs start fighting for that one cat. And they are fighting. Dogs are fighting. Animals are fighting. Now the two human beings, Ashraful Makhlukat, come. My dog, this one says my dog. And they start fighting and argument. And all the arguments and what arguments about dogs now. The two Ashraful Makhlukat and the greatest potential of the brain and the heart Allah gave, but now it is all used for the dog's purpose. my dog, I must save my dog. In the process, firearms come out. A shot is fired, one person is lying dead. There's a dead person, there's a murderer. And now the police come in. Now the person is arrested. The two families were having their livelihood, the person earning their livelihood, they were working. But now just this, what from a drop of the syrup there, where it laid now, the one family has lost their person who earns their livelihood. They are in difficulty. The other family, he's alive, but he's sitting in jail now. They have lost their livelihood. Now they go through all their difficulties and hardships. Little children, rental to pay, all groceries to be bought, they are in difficulty. Where all this started? All just because of that one drop of syrup. Today many of us, we say, it's a small matter. You are too hard. You are too strict. But you don't know, really, the Quran has explained it, Quran Sharif, over and over. It is the small things that lead to big things. On one occasion, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali just arrived from Karachi, and we had Maulana Hussein Bayat's house, Rahmatullah Ali, and tea was served. Hazrat drank his tea, and after drinking tea, he cleaned the cup with his finger. So I asked Hazrat, so much to clean, we know you must clean your plate and that. But even the cup of tea after the, you, and our system of eating, drinking, inshallah, it's not like the West, they have to leave quarter cup. They have to leave certain amount. We will drink complete. And still, after that, still using your finger, Hazrat first said, this is hulu from my side. I'm being too extreme. I'm doing things excessively. Then he said, nay, bhai, it isn't that. What a little makes lot. The one drop can't be made without this little. And the cup cannot be filled by drop. So the small things add up to give you your one cup of tea. Small thing, your one cent make your rand. And your one rand makes your 100 and 1,000 rands. And your 1,000 rands make your 10,000 and 100,000 and 1,000,000 rand. Everything is restricted. If you're a millionaire, but you 1 rand short, you can't say, I'm still a millionaire. You still, and you 1 cent short. You can't also say, I'm a millionaire. I'm still 1 cent short. All that is required. So the small things, don't regard them. Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, the small guna is enough to take you to Jahannam. Don't think it's a small guna. And a small neki is enough to take you to Jannah. Don't think, overlook, there is just a small neki here. I'm on safar and I don't read my Quran. Today it's all right, I'm on safar. I will still get the full sawab. What you can do, do what you can do. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. So these, this great, powerful mechanisms which Allah has given us, every person has got them. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. You had no knowledge when you were born. And how did you get it? وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. To use it, not to claim, now I'm God and I achieved this. Use it all, what Allah gave you, and make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So many people use this great mechanism and they become atheists. They deny Allah. And many of them use it and they become the true servants of Allah. Humility, humbleness, shukr in their lives, complete shukr. So this is the month Allah has given us to harness this great, great giant that we have got within us. And with this we can more than... When Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam asked that who will bring the arsh to? Yeah, who will bring it? He asked that, who will bring the throne of Bilqis to me? Then we call it Ifritu min al jinn. A giant of the jinn spoke, I will bring it before you get up from your gathering maqamika where you are sitting, your gathering you are having, I will bring it. But وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ, that I, the person who had knowledge, and he said, and it was there, he brought it already, immediately he brought. So anyway, so this great potential Allah has given us of the brain and of the heart, learn to make it subservient to Allah, the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the shariat of Allah Ta'ala, and see what great service you will reach, what height in this dunya. Forget in akhirat, that is, you can't imagine what Allah will give in this dunya. And if you use it wrongly, and then you will be destroyed. For that Allah gave us this month of Ramadan. And where we kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made for us on our minds also. Bring them under control. On our hearts also. Don't give them the freedom that they can do what they want to. Use them in the right way and see how valuable it will be. You've got a horse. You've got 6 horses. And strong, powerful. You leave them alone, they'll run around. Harness them and they'll pull your horse cars. And you'll go at a speed and where you will reach and what goods you will be transporting. How lot of good work you will do. You'll transport other people. And if you just left that horse like that, it will just be running around like a mad horse. So harness this brain. Great potential, and everyone has got that brain. Everyone has got that heart. With this roza, it is a way where we will purify it, harness it, put it in the right way. And when a person learns to use his thoughts correct, like that one, you thought that you just wanted to change your mattress, and where it took you. On the other hand, one family, very wealthy, Muslim people, very wealthy, but in dunya all, alhamdulillah, one person of the whole family went in jamaat. He became deeni conscious. And after becoming deeni conscious, the thoughts of deen came. We must establish deen. For that we have to have madaris, makatib, etc. One person in a whole big family, he came right. After that, the whole family, all their earnings were still coming. But now for holidays, using it in vanity of dunya, building of the houses, cars, all that, they put all that money into deen now. Building of masajid everywhere, building of makatib, running of makatib, in Pakistan, out of Pakistan, everywhere, what a difference came. Just what that one. So this Ramadan can do that for us. If we spend it correctly, what the great potential of the brain and the heart, together with that, all what comes from it and what Allah gives us, through that means, the doer is only Allah. But through that means what Allah gives us, and we can use it, you can become a great, not only wali of Allah, but you can change the course of history in the world. One person is enough if we keep the proper roza of our mind and our heart also. So in there, the mind, the thoughts that come, they just come all the time. So inshallah we will discuss on that, but understand what great potential and Allah has given it to us and free of charge. Such a great power, a giant of a power, the mind and the heart, Allah gave it to everyone free of charge. And we abusing it. We're using it wrongly. We're using it for small matters. We're using it for useless pursuits. Use it for the right thing. And this is the month of Ramadan to come into lane, to come into gear, and to move in the right direction. You got your car and you are revving it. You got your foot, your heavy foot, full on the accelerator. But you're not moving 1 inch. You haven't put it in gear. Just put it in gear, and even on its own, without pressing the accelerator, it will start moving already. So there's great power, potential is there which Allah has given us. Just let us put it in gear now. Come in lane now. And then see, inshallah, where by the time we reach the qabr, and we are in the right lane, and we are moving and cruising at a good speed, it is only welcome. Ahlan wa sahlan. And what a beautiful end. Allah has given everyone this brain and this heart. It's a matter, and Allah has given everyone Ramadan also. And Ramadan with all its other things, it is great to want to recognize Allah. And then to automatically build your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. And then use these great things to speed towards Allah Ta'ala. To fly towards Allah Ta'ala. The opportunity is ours. Use it for the right thing. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. so that we learn to get taqwa, we learn to control ourselves, and our brains we control, our hearts we control. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah. Make this Ramadan a valuable Ramadan. Make it a change, not for my life, but for the lives of the people. Until Qiyamah, and وَمَا ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ بِعَزِيزِ. It's not difficult for Allah. One person can change, and he can change the world. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.